Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Saturday. I am sitting inside of a classroom on the USC campus with our buddy, our pal, Coach Harvey Hyde. Follow him on Twitter, at Coach Harvey Hyde. This is kind of like a post-scrimmage podcast, we felt. Let's not wait till Monday. We just saw the scrimmage out at USC. It was full tackling. Why don't we jump right in and do a podcast right away? And Coach Harvey Hyde was nice enough to do it with me. What's up, Coach?
Ryan, a beautiful day, and I'm back in the classroom. Yeah. It's been a long time. Any minute the professor's going to come out and teach us something about chemistry. It looks like a chemistry lecture or something, but I'm glad to be here. We saw a great practice, about 70 plays, and I'm looking forward to discussing it with you.
Yeah, so if you want to get a hold of us on the podcast, podcast@uscfootball.com is our email address. You can go to our website, peristylepodcast.com, and there's lots of information there about how to get a hold of us. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio and Google Play and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a little bit different show. It might sound a little different because I'm recording it actually with my phone and a couple of microphones, but we're sitting in a classroom. Like Coach said, it does look like some sort of chemistry classroom. There's periodic table of the elements on there. So it kind of brings you back a little bit, a few years. But we just walked off the practice field. We got to see a full scrimmage, full tackling, about 70 plays, according to Clay Helton. And we had a different view, Coach, where normally we walk into the practice field, we go to the left, and we're kind of stuck in that corner. They put us on the opposite corner, but it was actually kind of nice because we got a different perspective than what we normally see at practice.
Ryan, I agree with you. I really do. It was nice. At first, I wondered where we were going because I walked in with you. But the location, I thought, was perfect. It was the perfect angle at the field. You were able to see the linemen and their techniques and what was going on. And when they were coming towards us, we got to see a lot of secondary play. It's really a better seat than just standing right on the 50-yard line. And then we had a chance to watch the offensive line up close and watch their drills and watch them go through techniques and so on, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
In fact, Ryan, I told Tim Tesson, I'd rather be here, yeah. You heard me, in front of Clay Helton. I'd rather be here than down where we were.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do this. I don't know.
It would be nice. I didn't want to tell them we liked it because then they thought they might not let us go back there. Like, oh, they like it? If they thought it was a punishment, maybe they'd keep us over there.
Yeah,
but it was good. I got to take some photos. You got to see kind of running back drills up close when we first got in there. The offensive linemen do so much work in that far back corner, and we were right next to them. So you could hear, Neil Callaway, barking out orders and instructions. And, you get to see, it's kind of it's not the deepest offensive line right now. There's a bunch of guys out, but we did get to see them up close.
Since you brought up the offensive line, I do have a comment. I looked at them, and they look like offensive linemen. There's not any real pussy guys. I call them pussy guys.
Okay.
These overweight guys. They look like they're all football players.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the Southeastern Conference when you go down and watch their spring practice or practices. When you look at the offensive line, there isn't one player that stands out. They all stand out. You have to look at your roster to see what that guy's name and who's that guy's name and who's 79, which is Boris, which I was very impressed with as far as a freshman kid. And it looked like there was a group of linemen who looked like football players. And
That's
very important that you can look like a football player. And they're very serious under Callaway, the way they work. We've never been able to see this before.
Right.
There's no standing around. They move. They do a lot of reps and so on. They rotate the lines. And I really liked it. I really liked the opportunity of getting up close. And ladies and gentlemen, we were as close as being in the huddle with them. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
It really was wonderful to be able to. Because now we can give you a clear accounting of what we saw.
Yeah. Well, people ask, like, hey, how's Frank Martin looked? And like, I don't know. Like, he's so far away, you can't really see. But we got to see him work at guard a little bit. When Cole Smith dinged his knee, we got to see him work at center. There's no Nico Fala. He wasn't out there. Tolu Abadan's kind of doing some stuff on the side. He's not in pads or anything. So you get to see some of these guys where, Chuma Adoga playing left tackle, Roy Hemsley. You mentioned Voorhees. He's out there. So you get to see these guys up close, at least get a better feel for what's going on.
I agree with you 100%. In fact, Lobodon looks better as far as what I thought as far as his rehab. When you're doing the drills that the trainer had him going through, as far as jumping on one knee and the other knee and doing some of these drills, those are very difficult to do when you're healthy.
Yeah.
And he was doing those. I think they're just keeping him out of the rotation to make sure he didn't have to prove anything, okay? And bring him back and stick him maybe at that left guard spot, and then they'll have a great five up front. But again, Hensley has to come through, and Chuma has to come through, and a lot of these younger players have to come through, but they've got something to choose from, and it makes competition. And when you have competition, you become a better football team, and that's what we see out there.
Yeah, practice number six, it definitely looks like they've improved and it's a better football team. Maybe we'll start with the offensive side of the football. Clay Helton talked about them trying to find, you know, their identity. Really, the identity of this team is like it's a Sam Darnold sort of team. You got Ronald Jones, you know, back there, but it seems like it's Sam Darnold's team. So many wide receivers have moved on. We saw Deontay Burnett was in a yellow jersey today, so he's supposed to be the main guy. I didn't see much of him. Same thing with Daniel Metoyebe. But what did you see on the offensive side of the ball as far as the skill position goes?
Well, you know, they have players. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It's a shame that they lost both the J.C. kids.
Yeah.
Hamptons, and believe me, they are players. They're both 6'3", 6'4".
They look great at the pro day.
Oh, pro day, absolutely fantastic. And to lose them on 17 completions or 10 completions or something like that, they would have brought a lot of experience to this young group of receivers. But the receivers are talented.
Yeah.
It's just like you said, getting their identity and getting the right combination that works. And right now they're going through that with Jones and all these other kids rotating around, Pittman, Jones, and so on. And they're going against a pretty good defense. They're going against a pretty good secondary,
yeah,
which makes it better for them. If they were going against a secondary that wasn't any good, how do you get any better?
Yeah.
So they're going against an experienced type of secondary with Marshall and Tell and Hawkins and some of these young players that are out there. So they're going to be better. They have to go against somebody that's good. And when you go against somebody that's good, then you're going to stand out when you make a play. You just don't make a play because the other person is inferior of you. So yeah. I like what's going on out there in the passing game.
In the run game, I think Ronald Jones had a really great touchdown run right in front of us, which was impressive. But we got to see a lot of the kid from Hawaii, Malapai. So we got to see a lot of him running the ball, like tough running today.
It was, and it's good to see different people have their moment, because you've got to take advantage of the moment when you're in there and you're getting reps and so on. And he took advantage of the moment. Even Clay Helton said that. So when you have the opportunity to carry the football or block on pass blocking, you've got to jump off the screen where people say, who was that?
Yeah.
I heard all of us in the media area saying, what number was that? Was that 29 or 20 or whatever number it was? Well, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
So it's very important that when you have that moment or that opportunity, that you seize that moment and you make something happen.
I think he did. It was pretty impressive. There was a couple, some penalties and some turnovers, I think, that Clay Helton talked about afterwards. That one of the things that you're just trying to address in the spring.
Well, obviously it's going to happen, but it's the first time you hit.
Yeah.
So you're not used to getting hit. That's why it's going to be harder to be a great football team the early part of the season. But everybody's going through the same rules and regulations of how many days you can hit,
yeah,
three times. So when you don't get hit, then you're not used to having the ball stripped, and you're not used to being hit on the move and all of these different things. So you're going to have turnovers. That's just part of it. And having officials out there are absolutely fantastic. You should have them at every practice. In the one area, you always have the officials making call in the secondary, pass interference and all. You've got to have an umpire in there watching your offensive line. Because I was watching it closely, and you know, if there's a hole in every play, you don't call a hole in every play. But if a young kid, and you don't call the penalty,
yeah,
but you go over to him and you say, you know, I would have maybe had to call that in the game now, son. So don't wrap around that like that. But you learn from that. When an official tells you something, it's a little bit different than when a coach tells you
something. Oh, interesting, yeah.
So, and you don't call him necessarily, but you let the kid know he's being watched.
Okay.
And when you're being watched, and you subconsciously put that in your mind the next time you block.
Yeah, if no one says anything and you hook a guy or whatever and you can just do it the next play,
right,
and you're not getting better because you can't really do that in a game.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side of the ball, Clay Helton was really impressed. I think the first defense played great. It was really tough sledding for Sam Darnold in the first offense when they went against him. But it was a really aggressive defense. They forced some turnovers. You get to see some of the young guys come in and play well. What did you think about the defensive effort?
Well, I like the defensive effort. As we talked earlier, the defense is always ahead of the offense. You know, people say, oh, the offense is not doing well and so on. Hey, the defense you just fly around, okay? And if you make a play, even if you did the wrong thing, you made the right play, but you made the tackle, you knocked the pass down, right?
Right.
You don't even know if you're in the right position. You just made the play, and everybody goes, ooh and ah. I was standing there in the end zone on one touchdown play, and everybody went, ooh, and it's like they're all cheering for the offense. Hey, give the defense a ooh once in a while when they make a great play. But the defense is the key to your team because they create the opportunities for the offense as far as going into the game on field position and so on. So I'm glad to see the defense. I'm glad to see the defense being aggressive and good because it makes your offense better. It's not going to be an easy challenge to go out there and drive down the field when you play against a team like this and you become a better blocker, a better receiver, a better quarterback. All parts of the offense become better, but your defense is good.
Yeah.
So you can't look down and say, hey, well, they didn't do very good offensively today. You got to look at it and say, we are pretty good defensively. Now let's keep working on the offensive side of the football so it becomes equal.
Yeah, makes sense. One of the first plays of the scrimmage, I don't know which wide receiver got their hands on the ball from Sam Darnold. It was one of the first plays. Went through the wide receiver's hands. I think Marvell Tell got a hand on it too, but then Uchenna and Wusu claimed he got the pick. Now, Clay Helton said they got to go back and do the review, but they gave him the benefit of the doubt, which was a good way to start off. And then one of the hot players that everyone's talking about, who redshirted last year, Jamel Cook, the big 6'4 safety, he's playing nickel now out of Miami. He had a nice interception too and a couple good hits. What about those guys?
I really like him. I really do. Jamel Cook, we've talked about him all the time, even redshirting last year. We even discussed it when they signed him, how that all came about against Florida State when they beat Florida State on the last day. He's everything I thought he was going to be. We said that. He's got great height. He's got range. He's got speed. He loves the game of football.
Yeah.
He says it. You wrote about it even in, I think, in the War Room this week. You wrote about how the guy talks about football. He's happy when he's on the football field. he feels better hitting somebody than intercepting a pass.
Yeah.
Well, that's a football player, man.
Yeah.
He's playing the secondary, but he wants to be in the whole game. He just doesn't want to get interceptions. He wants to hit people, too. And he does a good job at that.
Yeah, he certainly does. It's fun. It's fun to watch this defense because there's so much. I mean, like we said, the identity of this team is pretty much Sam Darnold. But right now, I think a second year, we talked to some players about this, a second year under Clancy Pendergast where they'll have a little bit of consistency. It's just they've switched defenses so much. And it took a while. I think it took these guys a while to learn it. They felt good by the end of the year, and now it's like year two. You got another camp, spring camp and fall camp and moving into it. I just think it's going to help this defense a lot because they know what to expect. And the older guys now can kind of teach some of the younger guys as opposed to everyone's just learning that, flat out.
They're going to teach a lot off the tape. They really are. Because I was watching the younger group, the second units and some of the third guys playing. They don't finish the play. If you know what I'm saying, you're rushing the passer and you see you're not going to get the passer, so you stop rushing. You can't do that. But you don't know if the secondary is covering so well that eventually he's going to be flushed out to you. So you've got to finish the play. So young players are going to be taught when they go into the film and look at the film today, hey, finish the play.
Yeah.
If the play goes away from you, chase in a pursuit angle where you might be the guy making the tackle. So I watch a lot of young players. I'm not going to point out their names and so on, but they're young, and they're trying to learn how to play. So I think that's the biggest learning thing you can do during the spring is finish the play. Finish the play. And a lot of kids, it takes a while for them to understand that.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to get to some questions, but I know you have a lot of notes written on your envelope there, which is great. That's a great notepad. Anything stand out you want to, mention before we jump into some questions?
Well, what I've seen since the last time I've been here, I think Matt Fink has improved.
Okay.
I really think he's improving. I'm impressed with the way he threw the ball today, and he was taking some leadership and moving around. You could see him sort of separate a little bit. I really did like that. I really like that. As far as Jack Sears, I thought he's coming along, and he's learning a lot as far as the speed of the game.
Yeah.
What I mean by that, he used to be able to run away from people and run the option, and when he was flushed out of the pocket, he'd be able to run for 50 yards. Hey, there's a lot of fast guys out there, so you don't get those type of plays, and he's learning that as he goes along. As far as the offensive line, I like them. I like the way they're being coached. I think they'll be a good football team. They're young in some spots, and they're seniors in some spots. So it's a good combination.
Yeah.
so the seniors could bring the younger guys along and make themselves believe and be a unit of five guys. And I think what will eventually happen, Lobodon will step in there. Not that Chris Brown isn't doing a good job. I'm not saying that. But he's just a guy. You know, he's been around, and he's ready to finish at be at that left guard. Yeah. Then you have a complete offensive line. And now that means Hensley has to come through.
Yeah.
And remember, Boris is really looking good over there, too, so let's don't count him out. He's going to push Hensley to be a better football player.
Yeah.
He's going to push him.
Voorhees is looking, I mean, he doesn't look like he should be in high school right now.
Oh, no. So that makes you a better football team. Then on the other side, you got Chuma, and he's a real football player. And behind him, you got Clayton Johnson.
Yeah.
Who is getting a lot of reps this spring. And I liked him today as far as growing up. He's a big body growing into it.
Yeah.
So when you're big, it takes you longer to grow into that body, you know? And the receivers, they had a so-so day.
Yeah.
The defense was, I wouldn't say they had a great day, but they had a so-so day. And the defensive side of the football, they play at a steady pace and played. Nobody really, I don't think, really stood out as far as, oh my goodness, this guy really dominating. But I think that it was a just good average football good morning scrimmage for the today, the first scrimmage.
Yeah.
I just liked it today because people were aggressive, but again, they have to learn how to carry a uniform. They have to learn to catch the ball with pressure. They got to learn to play at the speed of the game, and that's what they learned today.
I think they did. It was efficient. It wasn't overly long. They ran so many plays. You mentioned the quarterbacks. It's funny. So I think Fink is clearly the number two guy right now. Sears, I just think it's going to take a little while. I don't see him, you know, jumping ahead of Fink at this point, maybe in the fall. But what you notice, Coach, is, at least for me, when you had different kinds of quarterbacks on the roster, but now it's the same. So you see scrambling out of the pocket from Fink and from Sears and, of course, from Darnold. They kind of look, they're trying to, like, mimic, like, what Sam Darnold does, but their skill set's similar. And so I think the offense is more consistent, where, like, maybe last year they were trying to run this kind of offense with, like, a Max Brown, who that's not really, you know, in his skill set. These quarterbacks, they kind of match the skill set of what they're trying to do.
They really do. And I think, was it Thomas that threw that nice touchdown pass? One of the quarterbacks.
One of the walk-on guys,
Yeah, really threw a nice touchdown pass in the corner.
I didn't notice who it was.
I can't remember who it was, but he put the ball right over the heads of everybody, and that was a nice play. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Now, one thing, and you wrote it in your column, and I didn't hear anybody say this, the secondary is building pride with the nickname themselves, okay? The no-fly zone.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start to name those type of things with your groups, there's so much pride in that when you say, hey, guys, remember, this no-fly zone.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I love those type of things. It's unity with the secondary.
Yeah.
And eventually the receivers will come up with a name of who they are, you know. And I just like those type of things happening.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's talk about the scrimmage. Let's talk. Let's jump into some questions.
Hey, Ryan, this is the Cattleman giving you a holler from Knoxville, Tennessee. Been listening to the podcast, stumbled into it last football season. You guys kill it, as you say, out there on the left coast. Love Coach Hyde. Dan does a great job. Love him, too. And even the shotgun was pretty good on the basketball. Hey, man, I got two questions for you. Number one, hindsight being 2020, USC season great and all that, but I do think Clay Helton blew the quarterback situation last year. I understand not throwing Darnold to the Wolves against Alabama. He might have left in a body bag, but why didn't Darnold start the Stanford game? For all the plaudits, this guy looked at both those quarterbacks all spring, all fall, and somehow I think he was a little late getting to Darnold. That's my personal opinion. But why I'm really calling you is I'm probably the only person in the Volunteer State that loves Lane Kiffin. And, by the way, as you know, Kiffin hired Clay Helton, hired T. Martin, and I think you got a very raw deal out there at USC, 65 scholarships. You guys were wanting to go 10-2, and that's impossible. The NCAA didn't put you on probation to go to Rose Bowls. And I think Kiffin's a hell of a coach. I think he got screwed out there at USC. Pat Hayden's a nut, in my opinion. And with the UCLA job apparently possibly coming open, I know it's a toxic thing to talk about, but what would you boys think if Kiffin showed up in Westwood? And just overall, please give me another shot at especially what Coach High thinks about Coach Kiffin and whether that's right now Clay Helton's on top of the world, but I think in the long haul, Lane Kiffin's a better coach. And I love the podcast. Listen to it. You guys do a great job, and thanks for the entertainment.
All right, so that's some interesting questions from Cattleman, I think he said his name was, down in Tennessee, where my wife's from, but wants to know about Helton blowing the quarterback situation, and he really likes Lane Kiffin.
Well, I tell you, let's talk about USC last year and the quarterback situation first and answer that. First of all, USC wasn't ready to play Alabama, okay? They weren't mentally ready. They weren't physically ready. They didn't know what they were walking into. And I'm talking about the coaches and everybody. And they walked into a buzzsaw, okay? Maybe at the end of the year, it'd been a great game. I can't say that. But they weren't ready for the first game of the year. They went down there, and we talked about it on the podcast. And I don't think we tell people the way we feel. And they were embarrassed. The whole university was embarrassed on the performance. And they came home, and they said, wow. But that's the number one team in the country, and you weren't ready to play the number one team in the country. First of all, you had new coaching staffs, new starter, all these things that were going on, and you make this trip down to a special game in Arlington, which was a home game for Alabama.
Yeah.
But USC did show up strong, and I don't know if that's good or bad, because a lot of people saw them the way they didn't like them. So they embarrassed themselves, and they weren't ready to play. Now, I thought, and I knew that Sam Darnold had a good fall camp. We talked about it. But Brown had been around a while, and he had more experience. And I'm going to be honest with you, I thought he should have started that game because of his experience and knowing what he's supposed to do. But it didn't work out. And then the second game, it didn't work out. Then the third game, they made a switch. Now, remember, Clay Helton took a chance making that switch. Because yeah. If it hadn't worked, then it would have gone the other way. He didn't give him a chance. He was just getting better. He had two games experience. Could have gone the other way, but he played really well at Salt Lake City, okay? They should have won that football game, okay? But they didn't.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, he came along and united the offense, and the defense saw something too. Hey, we could be special here. And they started playing well, and they started winning. They won 9 in a row. And all of a sudden, we're going to the Rose Bowl. And all of a sudden, it became a football team. And they had confidence in themselves. And they had an identity of who they were, which they've been waiting to find out for years. Who are we here at USC? The play calling got better when it wasn't really good at the first part of the year. I was back to that same old thing. What are we running at USC? But it was T. Martin's first year. And a lot of the coaches, it was Callaway's first year. It was a lot, and Clay Ellen's first year. But after the dust settled, it started to be the type of football team USC boosters and kids want to be and why they come to USC. So it's gone now to a point where they had a great recruiting year. And we see some of that right now in some of the freshmen that are out there playing right now that came in early. Outstanding talent. And it looks like they should have a good year next year. Of course, you have to play every game at a time. And one thing you can't allow happen is let someone beat you that you're not supposed to lose to.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing now that USC's problem is going to be. Last year is not going to help you this year.
No.
So they've got to remember that and going into every single game that everybody wants to beat you. And you can't build up all this, and I know the media is talking about it, that, oh, they don't have a bye. So what? Get on the roll and you don't want to bye.
Yeah.
You get your season over a week earlier. And you move into the Pac-12 championship game. So people quit writing about it and talking about it. It makes no difference, but that's what the schedule is. So why talk about it?
Yeah.
Just get up and play it and be ready to play, okay?
All right.
So that answers that question. As far as Lane Kiffin is concerned, sorry, I'm going to do the whole show on this guy's question.
That's fine. That's okay.
But I thought Lane Kiffin, I thought everybody got screwed at USC. With the NCAA penalties, okay?
Sure.
You've heard me holler about this the whole time. I thought it was BS, excuse me, the way I think the university even handled it. I was very critical that they should have fought it and gone back and said, wait a minute, look what these other schools have done, and what have you done to them? I mean, 3 years of this type of no bowl game, give the Heisman Trophy back, kick guys off campus, they can't come to practice. What are you talking about? Please. So I'm not just critical about the NCAA. I'm critical also the way that USC probably handled it, okay?
Yeah.
I thought they should have stood up for the athletic department, who they are and what their identity is. Hey, really, guys, don't you have anything else to do back there? So That's that part of it. So I think I didn't like the way Lane Kiffin was fired. I thought it was done very, very poorly in an airport like that. You don't do that to people, okay? He has a family. He has people. You have the right to hire and fire people, but it's how you do it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was done in a poor way.
I don't know. I don't think Lane Kiffin's going to end up in Westwood, though, Cattleman. But, you know, who knows?
I don't know. I didn't know Jim Mora was leaving.
I don't think he is, and we'll see. They'll have Josh Rosen back, so if they have a poor year, then maybe something happens, but who knows?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Okay, we have a question from Tarek. He said, is size sometimes overemphasized, especially on the offensive and defensive lines?
Yeah, I do. I really think that. I think you can be too big. Too big where you don't have the mobility that you need to play on the offensive line, especially if you're an offensive tackle. But the quickest guy that's on the defense is the defensive ends.
Yeah.
They're going to put pressure off the edge. And if you can't get out of your stance and block that guy, you're not going to do us any good. And another thing, you're so big that the quarterback can't see over your head to throw a pass, an out route, or some route to a receiver. So there's such a thing as being too big, and there's such a thing as being too big of an offensive guard. I was talking about today, I'm not going to pick out any individuals, but when you have to pull a lot and do the crossover step, the lead up a hole, or lead on the outside sweep and so on, the taller you are, the farther you are from the ground as far as pulling out and getting the momentum to get around the corner. So 6'2", 6'3", is probably the ideal height for an offensive guard. But when you start going 6'6", 6'7", it's harder for him to get the momentum when you throw your arm to get around and pull and be in front of the play, not behind the play.
Gotcha.
And what happens sometimes is even if you're even with the play, you're in the way of the running back.
Makes sense. So a guy like Zach Banner, I wonder if Sam Darnold has a hard time seeing over.
Well, he did. I'm being honest with you. He did.
That's the biggest guy around.
Yes, it is.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him in the NFL draft. Damian Mama is obviously a bigger guy. It's going to be a leaner offensive line this year. So
they look like football players.
Yeah.
You know, didn't I say this earlier that when I watched the drill today, they look like the Southeastern Conference? Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
They do. You've got guys that all look like football players.
We got one last one for you, Coach, and we'll end our chemistry room podcast, chemistry classroom. Reggie in Seattle, he said, you guys talk a lot about positions that USC players play. I was wondering if you could spend a little time next time Coach is on and have him break down the responsibilities of the defensive positions, like the Mike linebacker versus the Will linebacker, and what their chief responsibilities are on the USC defense, the one they run. I know it's different for each defense. But great job. Fight on, Reggie in Seattle. So I don't know if there's any spots you want to maybe talk about a little bit or how you want to address this one.
No, there's a difference. There's normally your Mike linebacker plays at a strong side, okay? Normally he's the kid that's a strong side blast guy, power guy, maybe not as quick as far as being a cover guy, yet you still have to cover. Your Will linebacker sometimes follows the play, has a lot of contain, has to pick up a back down the sideline, do some different things too. And
he's on the side that the tight end's not there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So the Will guy is normally your quicker guy that runs faster.
Okay.
And can move. That's why you see, if you ever watch how they switch sides at the last minute, they say they've switched sides to both sides, and they do that with the defensive guards too. They'll switch sides in the guards because one's the better plug guy than the other guy.
Okay.
So the Mike linebacker is more of a physical type of linebacker. The Will linebacker, you want him to still be physical, but he can run better. He can cover better. He can blitz better. All the things that he's got to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And it's I'm not going to say he has to be more athletic, but he's got to be able to do more things than a Mike linebacker really being the stud.
It's interesting because Cameron Smith, he started off as a Mike linebacker his freshman year. Last year, they moved him to the Will, and they had Michael Hutchins playing the middle. And now he's moved back. Cameron Smith's back in the middle playing Mike. And like they have like a John Houston coming in and is learning the Will spot. So they're kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting the way that's done. I mean, these guys can play multiple positions, but, you know, they're trying to specialize.
And I also agree that your best linebacker, physical guy, should be in the middle.
Okay.
Because you know why? They can't run away from you. You can go either way. So when you play one side, like Sua did, remember Craven, I used to always say, why play him one side? because that's your best defensive player. Half the plays go away from your best defensive player. When you put your best defensive player in the middle, now that defensive player has a chance to be in every play.
Okay.
So that's where you do that.
Interesting. Yeah, so that, I think Cameron Smith talked to him. He really liked it. I talked to him Thursday, I guess, and seems to really like the move.
More tackles. You really do. You get in it more.
He's gonna be in it more. But you know, he has to be more of a vocal leader, I think, because Michael Hutchins was really good at that. He's kind of like a coach on the field. I think that's another aspect of the Mike linebacker. He's making a lot of those calls.
Yeah, he will. He's an experienced linebacker. He's been out there, and I think Houston's going to do a great job. I'm glad to see him on the field. I really am, because he came in as a great football player.
Yeah.
And they moved him inside. I think it's great because he deserves to be on the field. You got to have your athletes. How many times have we talked about what good does players do on the sideline? Huh? You remember?
Nothing. Yeah.
They got to get.
They can jump
play.
Up and down and wave a towel.
I know. Yeah. No, don't get back to that. Okay, the towel waving, please. Okay, don't, because I'm just recovering from that. Okay, after seeing my therapist and dreaming about that, you know. But no, you want to see players on the field. Get your players on the field so you're a better football team.
All right. Well, that is Coach Harvey Hyde, and we are in some chemistry classroom.
I don't know, but I learned a lot in here.
Yeah, there's a reading the periodic table. Great stuff. I forgot to mention our sponsor at the top of the show because it's been a little bit different, Southern California Tickets. Certainly, if you need tickets, the Lakers just won a game. You want to go see the Lakers? You want to see the Clippers? I'm going to NASCAR this weekend, Coach.
Are you going to California?
I'm going to NASCAR, yeah.
I did that. Yeah, I did that a couple
years
ago.
I've never gone to one.
Hey,
so.
You'll like it. Did you get credentials?
No, we have tickets. Yeah.
I wish you had credentials, but you can sit up in the press box and you see the whole thing. Might not be too late for you.
I'll go check it out. Right. But if you need tickets, you can go to Southern California Tickets.
You can.
SCTickets.com or call them at 1-800-888-7287. They can hook you up with NASCAR tickets. It's local here.
It is. It's really a great day. If you haven't been to a NASCAR race, I not only just watch the race, I watch the people.
Okay.
You know, the way they have not groupies, but each driver is a star.
Yeah.
And they have people that follow them around because you could get in the pits. I was able to get in the pits and follow them around and so on. In fact, when I was there, Kurt Busch, of course, is from Las Vegas, and Kyle Busch Brendan Gaughan. So
Daytona,
I yelled
Daytona
at him. Huh?
Yeah, he won the Daytona 500 a couple
yeah,
of
years. Yeah, I yelled at him. I said, come over here. And he didn't know who I was. I came over and said, Harvey Hyde, do you remember? Coach, he says, we used to go to your game. We used to go to your game. I said, you know, you could have played for me. He says, why is that? Because you drive like the guys that wanted to play for me. You don't get out of the way of anybody. And we laughed and so on, and he went on his way.
That is great. All right, well, check it out. You can go to sctickets.com. I'm actually going to the Pantages Theater tonight, too. I think we're seeing an American in Paris or something like
good
that.
Good for you.
I'm taking my wife to that one, so it should be good. But, yeah, you can do all that on sctickets.com.
Good.
Whatever you want. All right. Well, thanks so much, Coach.
Thank you very much. And thank you for all of our listeners out there to make this show happen.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed this little different Peristyle podcast over the weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287, 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concert, sports, and theater.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.